Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Coffee or pee or anything? You guys are good?
Pee!
You will die at the hands of Zed's unborn son.
Zed's unborn son will die.
The truth cannot be changed.
He will die tonight!
I'm no threat to you.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, episode 466. We are mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Brian.
Kyrie, listen down the road that I must travel.
Dunaway.
Please never let it happen again. Oh, hi. Oh, hi. What's up, my witches? Oh, I'm sorry. Did I startle you horrible hags? It's just me, the high priest, Ma Axe. And now perhaps you understand how I feel. I run into one of you ugly mugs in the middle of the night while on urgent poo business. I haven't pooed in a decade, weirdos. Anywho, what are you working on today, my coven of ugly? A passion potion? All right, tell me more. A brew that turns you from horrible to hot? I am listening. Oh! But you ran out of cow placenta, and you only have enough to either make you hot up top or hot down below. That is a tough one. Better make it hot bottoms. Oh, are we doing the squirmy dance? You know I love the squirmy dance. Let's do it. Yeah, this is going to be so much better after the potion. I can't wait. All right, I'm heading out. Oh, yeah, if you're heading to the lower level today, we left the ankle-grabbing flaps open. So be high-stepping or lose a foot to the death guards. Toodles.
Nice. Mayax, I appreciate it.
Mayax.
Like Max. Is it Mayax or Mayax?
Mayax.
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 Mayax. It's spelled M-A-X-X, but there's like some kind of pronunciation of it.
M-A-A-X.
It's two A's. Yeah. M-A-A-X.
Oh, I'm sorry. Two M-A's. I'm sorry. Two A's and one X.
Yeah. Which is real dumb no matter how you look at it. Doesn't matter how you spell it. Mayax. Sounds like something
you need to... I may ask you a question.
Yeah. It's my axe. No, it's your axe.
I may ask you how to pronounce this.
Very nice. Also with us, Randy. He was transferred as a fetus into the belly of a cow, Jordan.
Good morning. Aloha, Scott, Brian.
Hi.
And thank you for coming out to the North Platte Stay Away Inn and Lodge multi-purpose room this morning. You're a great audience, and you're about to be even greater because you're all going home with copies of my new book, Master of Beasts. The popularity of Tiger King was not an accident. There's a lot of money to be made in the wild world of bringing people closer to the wild world. All you've got to do is follow my three easy steps. Number one, people love cute animals, even if they're commonly available. Show them some ferrets every few minutes and they'll love you for it. Number two, make the claim that you have a mystical connection to your beasts, but limit yourself, folks. Keep it to like three animals, even though a few more would be obviously the right thing to do. and don't take any time actually training yourself to use special powers. Something this ridiculously useful should be forgotten about most of the time. Number three, like the middle bun on a Big Mac, you've got to add something that no one ever knew they wanted. Take a tiger, paint him black. Sure, it's cruelty, but you'd only do the cruelty when no one's looking. One exception, when you drown a ferret right in front of them, they're going to love it.
Yeah. There's some serious like anti-PETA stuff in this movie. Not directly anti-PETA, but PETA would be pissed.
In the middle bun where they put the special sauce, isn't that where the middle? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, okay, mm-hmm. Let's make sure.
Yeah, yeah. You got that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Also,
is that what its purpose is? Like,
yeah, yeah. No, where else are you going to put it? Yeah,
its purpose is to gluten up this sucker. Let's go.
Yeah. Good point. With us finally, Brian, if Dar was gay, he'd be gay Dar Ibbot.
Well done. Mm. So, as a slave girl, they just let you run off to the waterfall to topless sunbathe with your friend? Okay, cool. Kiri, is it? Hi, I'm Dar, and yes, I was creepily watching you for a while, and I just know I'll probably spend the next couple hours repeatedly saving you and watching you get captured again. What's that? Oh, well, I am glad to see you, but yes, that is a ferret in my pocket. Two, actually. I can control them, like I can control all animals. Yes, beavers too. Why do you ask? Anyway, I can also communicate with my eagle and my tiger. You might say I'm a tiger king, in fact. Mm. Lawsuit? Oh, no, I'm never going to financially recover from this.
Perfect.
Oh, well done, dude.
You were predicting all three of us to mention Tiger King, weren't you, Randy?
I was predicting all three of us to mention painting a tiger black.
Yes.
That is the standout what the F in this movie. That I just, again, okay, so to start, I just want to make clear, I never saw this movie before. I never heard of this movie before.
Oh, what? My gosh, how is that possible? Oh, my gosh.
Love it.
I'm blown
Lucky.
Away right now
yeah.
at this movie. Like, and we somehow saw Bubba Hotep long before this. I don't understand what's going on.
Yeah, so.
Well, I've never seen the movie before, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I had to have heard of it. The thing is, I felt like I couldn't avoid seeing it. It was on all kinds of cable repeat back in the day. Plus, I had a VHS copy I watched until it quit working. I was so into the Beastmaster for so long, and I haven't seen it since probably the 80s.
There was right, and there was a glut. So what happened during the early 80s was this surge of fantasy, especially B budget like fantasy things, and that made its way to a lot of TV and VHS during the mid 80s. Mm-hmm. So you probably saw a lot of these, and it was easy. It's easy for you to have missed it because there was tons of these things.
Yeah.
Out there
HBO right. had this thing on like repeat back in the 80s. It was just on all the time and there was no way to avoid it. It felt like
it was easy for me to miss it because my parents were misers who wouldn't ever had cable television.
Cable? Yeah. No. You go adjust the rabbit ears, yeah. Randy.
I will never, like when I went to college, oh my gosh, I just lost the first semester of college because I was in the TV room in the dorm.
Yeah, you didn't realize they had all that.
Hey, do you guys know there's TV on in here? Where are you guys going? Come here.
There's more than five channels.
And it had HBO. And I was like watching Arliss, and they would show the new Arliss, but they would also show previous episodes at different times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I was going to the TV room at all hours to try to catch up on Arliss. Like that was my, you know, so like I remember the Cary Elwes Pentagon movie, Pentagon Wars, was on HBO all the time. So I totally understand what you're talking about.
Sure.
Like HBO didn't have a lot of movies at any given time. They had like 50 movies, and you might think, oh, that's a lot. No, it's not. Not when you're streaming 24/7.
Oh yeah, it's a very different place than it was now. There was no real original programming, although Arliss was, but they had just sort of gotten started into that stuff, Arliss and
Remon was an early one, not necessarily the news, I remember.
Yeah, what was the one with
Gary Shandling? I watched Gary Shandling all the time.
Yeah, the Gary Shandling show, or no, what was it called? It was called
Larry Sanders Show.
Larry Sanders Show. That
Larry
was amazing.
Sanders Show. Yeah.
Amazing show. Yeah. Speaking of Rip Torn, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's a nice segue right into.
Yeah, well done.
Rip Torn.
So we're going to talk about the Beastmaster.
Rip Torn is so good in this
He's
film.
He's so great in this. Now, I have three or four memories from the Beastmaster growing up, and these are they. All right? I have the memory.
These are they.
I remember that I remember that what's his name? Mark Singer was freaking ripped, and he is.
Yeah.
I remember the weird bat people that like absorbed you when they hugged you. And I remember
those are like a really good take on a vampire. That's a really good take. Even though they're eagle people, they're bird people.
Explain something to me. I want to stop there.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how he got his powers. He had some power, right? Before he meets them and they turn it on.
Yeah. Oh no, he had powers before. He had powers because he was. Oh my God! Don't I want to explain this?
explain it. No, it's worth explaining.
The reason why he has beast powers, by a radioactive cow.
No, well, pretty much. So instead of just ripping the baby out of the lady's belly and just killing it, they decided to transfer it to a beast, and we're assuming that's where he picked up his special powers.
It's not just an assumption, because there's a director's cut of this movie where they go deep into that and they explain that that is exactly what happened. The transfer to the beast's belly gave him beast powers. That's exactly what they claim.
Right. Okay, he was born of beast.
Yeah.
But it's not really something that he is like great at until he meets these bat people and they give him an amulet.
No, he never. He's talking to the painted tiger, which, by the way, I just assume the producers are all like Rolling Stones fans, and they just kept hearing "Paint It Black" because they painted it black.
I see a tiger. And
that tiger's not supposed to be black, anyway. My whole thing is him and the weasels, not weasels, ferrets, and the tiger. That all happens pre bat people. The scene through the eye of the bird, like all that's done. He's done.
I mean, doesn't it start? It starts with the bear when he's a little kid and his dad is about to be eaten by that bear. Right.
Oh, that little kid too, by the way.
Yeah, you know who that is. That's a kid from everything in the 80s. Yeah, Billy Jane. Doesn't do anything now. It's like how's a like 2010 kind of quit working, but anyway.
Parker Lewis can't lose. Yeah. Always looked at me.
I love that show.
Okay.
Yeah, you know him from tons of stuff.
Lots of stuff. Cujo even on here.
Yeah, he's on we saw Cujo. Some other movie we saw him on here too. He's been in things. But anyway.
I had a hard time not just constantly comparing this to the episode 4 of Star Wars, because I think the biggest reason why is because he looks like Mark Hamill. It's just like I can't get over how he's got the same hair, basically.
Yeah,
and that's all that matters. Yeah. If you have that hair,
that's it. That's as far as
funny.
White guy with hair and feathers.
Yeah,
right.
You had the Luke Skywalker vibe. I totally was getting the He-Man Masters of the Universe vibe. Like
really,
you know, with the like big time with the leather straps. Way better. Like he would have made a much better He-Man than Dolph Lundgren.
No, 100% agree with Brian. This is 100% true. Now, I know we all like Dolph Lundgren, but let's not go too far here. What you need for He-Man is someone who is ripped and agile, and what we got with Lundgren was lumbering and slow and dumb.
Yeah, we needed Jean-Claude Van Damme is what we needed.
Yeah. I would have been too early, but yeah. My main takeaway with when from this, my third thing that I remember is the boobies from Tanya Roberts. And those, all of
these
things.
Thank you for that gift, Tanya Roberts.
All of these things, plus some other pretty violent stuff in the movie, I always assumed this was rated R. It's not. It was PG. It was PG.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. This is where we had PG-13. And really, the gratuitous boobification was not really overly sexualized. It was just.
No, but you don't have that now. PG-13s don't get boobs. It's all R. If you got boobs, you're R. You don't get the boobs in the PG-13.
No, that's not true. For the longest time, PG-13 definitely meant at least one quick shower boob shot. You wouldn't get two boobs.
Name one you can think of, because I cannot.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you name something that was rated PG-17. I don't know off the top of my head. I can just tell you that it's growing up. I can tell you this right now. If I saw a movie, I knew for a fact I was at least seeing one booby if it was PG-13.
But we've talked about this before. In the second term of the Reagan administration, the MPAA got all replaced by a bunch of people who were straight out of like mega churches, and they just completely changed what what you're going to find in these ratings. Like, I saw the rating, and I saw it was PG, and I said, this is a 1982 film, and I thought, I'm going to watch this with my 10-year-old, but I'm not going to have expectations that it's right for him. And it wasn't. Like, I more than once I looked over and he was like cringing and wincing, because it, like, there's some pretty, PG-13 violence.
Well, the original bat people, when they devour that dude who was in the cage and the goop's falling out and all that, like, that's a lot for someone who's, young and impressionable.
Oh, for sure.
Even at 12, I was like, whoa, holy, this is just, it was hardcore. And it became kind of my weird rebellion. Like, it was this movie that no one else in my family cared about. And it was like my thing. It was like this weird fantasy. This is where I get to go and watch a weird thing. And you guys can't enjoy it. You, my sisters, you go play with your freaking, you know, strawberry shortcake and all that bullshit. I'm going to do this.
It's really not for girls. Like, it's like, I mean, I could sort of make it that way now. Like, hey, look at poor man's Mark Hamill here with the amazing body.
Yeah.
But like, it's not for girls. This is a movie that was made by boys for boys. And there's, you know, just a lot of like chopping heads off and fire. There's so much fire in this movie. Wow.
Explosions. Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
If you come into a village and burn the village down and burn all the people, and then this guy comes in later and he finds all the people not burned and he burns them again. Was that like refried human? Yeah. What is going on? Why
refried Emer?
What is going on right now?
Emer. What was the name of that? Yeah, it was Emer, right? Was the name of the Emer. Town?
It looked like it was pronounced, or it should have been pronounced Emir. It's spelled like Emir, but it's pronounced Emer or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, nobody in this movie knew how to pronounce anything was being said because constantly they were low talking it. It was like, whatever. So I was like, what did he say? I'm going to rule her. What?
Yeah. He's making up words. Too short, one syllable, dumb words. Dar is the worst name for a character. Right? Like, just really Dar. There's others like that. By the way, before I forget, a listener named Kevin wrote in during this week and said this. You guys, I love the show. I've been listening since the way back. I know you primarily do Netflix movies, but occasionally you branch out into other platforms once in a while. Anyway, Beastmaster is on Amazon Prime Video right now. It's the most film sackiest movie I could imagine. You regret not sacking it if you have a chance. Plus, it has boobies. Thanks for reading, dudes. Kevin. So I just wanted to let Kevin know. We did say last week that we were going to watch this. I don't know how you missed it, but yeah.
PG-13, Titanic, The Fifth Element. Something's got to give.
Oh, PG-13, Titanic was PG-13?
PG-13, booby movies.
And wait, when did it have? Oh, what's her name posing for the art?
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah, you're
right. Okay, so, I'll give you that.
Like, usually it's not overly sexualized, and usually it's just one.
Yeah,
you can't get both boobs.
Yeah,
yeah, you'll get one. You'll get one or the other. You can't.
But
get
back
both
in
boobs.
The day, like in like Revenge or Attack Splash. Of the Titans or what the hell is it called? Whatever it is, the Titan one.
Clash of the Titans.
Yeah, it's Clash. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Clash of the Titans. Remember the Clash of the Titans.
Remember the Clash.
Yeah, there you go. They were. They had boobies and bums and all sorts of stuff, and I remember at the time going, whoa, and that was PG, and it just seemed like the threshold for PG was just way lower.
There was one thing that was going on with these resurgence of low. Okay, so anytime you have a low budget film like this, you turn into a skin flick so that, you know, you can get some free buzz and, you know, it can get some traction, because usually that kind of skin stuff is pretty cheap to film. So man, every time you were turning around, everybody was trying to get naked. If they had a robe on, time to throw it off. Yep. If they covered up anything at all, it was time for somebody to rip it off 5 seconds later.
It was the Conan stuff.
Look at my butt cheeks.
Yeah. It's like the influence of Conan. In fact, that's my first impression of this.
And that wasn't just the girls. Every person who could get naked was getting naked.
According to this oral history of this movie that I read, the shot of the two women in under the waterfall had to be contrived in every possible way. For one, it was cold, and they couldn't, they had to come up with ways of keeping them warm enough to look like they would want to be in the water. But they actually, if you actually go back and look at it, they're really uncomfortable. For another, the water wasn't flowing, so they didn't actually have a waterfall when they got there. They had to bring a truck in, drive it up to the higher terrace, and pour water into the creek so that it would come over. Yeah. So they only had so much chance to actually film the women with the water actually falling.
And it was kind of a hilarious scene, because I instantly realized, I'm like, well, why are they wearing bottoms if they're only going in to their waist up anyway? It's like, why even take your top off if you're not even
going
to get
if you're not
in
going all
water.
In, yeah. Well, that's where your arm would have, you'd have had an
so
arm
they could have some dry clothes.
Right. I was like, that's weird. Like
you could pull my ferrets.
Yeah, exactly. You could tell, by the way, that it was really cold, because those girls could have cut gems after this, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh yeah, yeah. By the way, this was loosely based on a story or a book, The Beastmaster. And I'm curious, in the book, how old was Dar, the Mark Singer character? Because this is a hero's journey, and usually that starts out when you're like, you know, still a teenager, maybe even, mm-hmm. you know, 13, 14, that kind of that age group. But of course, Mark Singer here is much older, but he still acted like adolescently immature, especially when it came to the ladies. And I just couldn't get my head around.
That's true. I mean, I guess the premise is that he figures out he's got powers as a little kid, stops the bear, right. and then befriends the other creatures, and then just gonna go back to the village and just work. Just gonna cut lumber. Right.
A 13-year-old boy, kind of like playfully rolling around with a 13-year-old girl on the floor on the ground like that, might have been like, oh, okay, oh, young love, that's sweet. But when you know it's like a 20-something-year-old doing it, you're like, oh, this is gonna end poorly. This is not a fun.
Yeah, they don't. It's not the full journey for sure. And they try to. I mean, a lot of people say that the director's cut is actually 20 more minutes, which is a lot because this movie's already 2 hours. But apparently there's just a lot of filled in stuff that the director meant to show, things about his origin and his acquisition of those beast powers. There's more about the relationships and characters and all this.
I realize that I have the benefit of 40 years to look back. You know what I'm saying? But. Yeah. It leaned way too heavily on the Book of Exodus. Like,
right.
I constantly felt like the movie started. I've never seen this before. And I'm like, okay, there's a wizard and they have to kill a baby. That baby is going to be, yep, just like I thought. It's the king's kid. Mm-hmm. Okay. That baby's going to grow up to kill the king. Like, and it was like, I just could like, oh, and he's going to take what the action that he thinks will stop it, but that will actually make it happen later. Like, I knew all of that.
Right. Yeah.
Because you can't avoid it. Because that's what the witch says, right? She says, what she say?
I can't those witches. Now. When I was young, they freaked me out when I was young because it was this combination of really sexy bodies with really gnarly faces. Now I could not see the horrible mask work that was going on.
Yeah, right.
It was bad.
It was so good though, but I loved them. And they picked these actresses, the witch women, and they were so tall, and it was so unnerving and creepy to see these long, spindly women who are half dressed with these terrible facial prosthetics, and like the one scene where she's like crawling on the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was actually one of the more effective.
And he stabs him. Yeah. I have strong memories of that scene. And it just was, there's some really gnarly deaths and stuff in this thing. And I guess,
and
the one you think of movie I've seen 50 times or whatever, however many times it was obviously not that many, but a lot. You'd think I would know this already, but I didn't know it was PG until this weekend. I thought I'd been watching some rated R thing that my mom didn't know about, and it was
bad because I'm telling you, if your mom had came in and it was at the pond scene,
the right time, you would have totally been
you're out, man.
If it's right, you just call that the right time. I like it.
The thing is,
or the wrong time for you.
HBO showed things based on their rating. The time of the day they showed them was based on the rating. So your mom wasn't checking at 4 p.m. She didn't care.
No.
She figured that was fine. If you were watching HBO at 11 p.m., though, there would have been some scrutiny.
This would have been my dad's. Oh, wait, you can't say that without.
Yeah, I can't say that word without doing this.
Hold on, I'll play it right now.
Scrutiny.
You couldn't. This was not something I could have on without my dad doing his whole blanket over the TV thing. This is absolutely one of those. The movie scene. Oh, and he dropped the blanket to go behind the TV. And,
but, Dad, I'm trying to see the truck up there that's dumping water into the waterfall.
Yeah. I'm interested in the trivia.
There were more than one shot where I was like, oh, wow, Cleo McDowell here is pretty much naked. Throw a blanket over the screen for that.
Oh,
wow.
Is that the other one's name? I don't know her. Who's she?
No. John Amos.
Who
played Cleo McDowell in Coming to America.
Oh, that guy.
Seth. Oh, no. What are you talking about? Good Times. JJ's dad.
Yeah,
you know
JJ's
about.
Dad. He's great. He's great, but he always
naked.
Looked really uncomfortable when he was down to his little skivvy armor. He just always looked like, I don't really want to freaking do this, but he'd do it anyway.
I thought he was fantastic because he was believable as kind of, you know, the tough. He was strong. He could really do it because apparently Mark Singer, despite his lean, ripped self, had almost no power, no upper body strength. I mean, like a little kid was turning that turning that one wheel.
Yeah, yeah, the skull, he's all like, the skull razor lifter.
Yeah. When he tries to lift the tree, it's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, can you do anything, weak boy?
Yeah, they did do that. That was weird because in some ways you were like, he is the ultimate in male physique in this fantasy. Mm-hmm. And the way he's swinging that sword around and he's up on top of that hill. It was a very gif-able film, by the way. I really enjoyed making gifs from this movie.
Oh, so good. Hey, did y'all... Okay, so Conan does this, the barbarian.
Yeah.
Did this so well in the movie of helping us to understand how he trained and got stronger and, you know, why waxing on and waxing off made him a better fighter.
Yeah.
You know? But in this, we just had Mark Singer running around swinging just willy-nilly, just swinging swords and
a big stick at the beginning. Yeah.
Stick, and it's like, what are you doing?
There's a great Warcraft spec choice scene in this film. So,
oh, yeah? Oh, I want to hear this. This sounds good.
We think he's growing up a warrior, but no, he's actually a hunter. We find out he's a hunter class during a scene where he's out in the wilderness and he gets ambushed by some bad guys. And he goes through all three specs. So he starts out, he's a survival hunter, and he's testing that out. And he's like, you know, because he's out in the wilderness, he's by himself. He has to be a survival hunter to be alive. But then these guys attack him, and he's like, I'm going to try marksmanship. He throws a freaking boomerang. I don't know what the hell, what this weapon should be called.
Pseudo-glaive, yeah.
Pseudo-glaive.
Exactly what it is. Go. It was like glaive light.
Yeah.
And it's like fully marksmanship stuff. Like,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. He just killed that guy with that ninja S. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so he's like dabbling with marksmanship. But then, you know, Beast Mastery, it's way OP.
It's right on the name.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Like, as soon as he gets stuck with it, he realizes, like, I have Eyes of the Beast with this eagle. That's so overpowered. That's crazy.
Yeah,
and like, it just felt so Warcrafty to me.
There were definitely some of those tropes being played out. In fact, my first impression of this particular viewing was, oh man, this is just like you're training a hunter in the game. You got all these familiars. You got, you know, your main cat there, who was obviously. Oh, by the way, the worst trivia in this is the most obvious description of a thing. It says Dar's black tiger is actually a regular striped tiger dyed black. It says the dye would wash off around the mouth whenever the tiger took a drink, so the stripes are often visible around a mouth. I'm like, we know, dipshits.
It was done with Lady Clairol hair dye.
Nice. Really?
Yeah, I don't believe that for a minute. This is Rust-Oleum spray paint.
Wait, you're saying that like layered it on there and said, all right, now set a 25-minute timer, and then like, when it's done, now you
put a plastic protector over the whole thing. Yeah.
It's weird. Why not just let it be a tiger?
I would prefer if we don't talk too much into this, because like, there's no way they got that done without sedating the tiger.
Oh, I guarantee it. Do you see what they did to the dog earlier? They put that dog out so he could walk out with it so it looked dead.
And it's still breathing.
Yeah, but it was so limp. And I thought, man, you guys tranked a dog to make a scene. Just you running out with the dog. Like this whole movie, you were joking in your intro about the ferrets, but that ferret went under there. He went under there.
Yeah, they drowned a ferret. You could do this still.
They made quicksand by putting a bunch of really, really light stuff floating on water, right? Mm-hmm. And then somebody's hand is under there holding the ferret. And so it's a real close up, you know, it's super close. And they're just dragging it downward. I was very angry with the film in that moment. Like, seriously, I was like, I had to stand up, walk around.
Oh, wow.
I was really mad because they're drowning a ferret right in front of the camera. Like,
well, I mean, I was angry too, but I didn't have to walk around. I sat but and I stayed angry.
Really?
I guess it was like, compartmentalized the things that happened during the 80s and went like, okay, that's just how it was then.
Yeah,
it's just ironic that for a movie about a character who loves the animals and communicates with them, that they are so damn cruel to so many animals in this film.
Yeah. And there's more in this oral history. Like they couldn't get the eagles to fly for them the way they wanted them to, so
they just throw them.
No, they trap the eagle in a basket and tie it to a helium balloon and take it up several hundred feet and then drop it to make it fly.
Really?
That's both terrible and also hilarious.
Yeah. In almost every shot of the tiger, not only was the tiger just brutalized to make it look black for no reason, by the way. Why? Right. Why is it black? It doesn't have to be black. No. So
that's what it said in the book.
In almost every shot of the tigers, there were multiple tigers that they tortured. They're chained down and they are shot in a way that you can't see the chain. But in the last shot, the very last shot of the two people standing up on top of a mesa, the tiger is there and you could see the chain. It's just chained down.
And what's ironic is there's a scene in the movie where the bad guys, they tie up a tiger. They tie that once when he meets the tiger, he's got him tied up. And they're like harassing him. And I'm like, oh, you're bored?
That ragdoll dog is just, I felt
that
something.
Dog was not playing. Yeah. I've seen a dog play dead. That's not play dead. I'm out.
No, he was tranked to hell and back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think you can train a dog to just go limp in your arms.
Not that limp.
No, not even close. Yeah. Like a lot of that stuff really jumped out at me in the ferret going under. And it does state in the trivia, 25 ferrets were used to create the two.
19 drowned.
And I don't know how many of them lived or died, or I hope they all lived. I don't actually know, you know? Like, I don't know.
Maybe they dropped one in actual fire. I mean, I don't know.
The way they were dangling out of Mark Singer's pocket, you know, they were probably falling out all over the rocks, too, as he was running.
Yeah.
Right? The one that dies near the end is in fire, right?
Right, it is. Kodo dies. So. Yeah, that's the reason.
One assumes it didn't go in the fire with the guy because the guy didn't go in the fire because he lived.
One assumes that they made sad faces and he's dead.
Yeah, one assumes. Who knows if Kodo or Podo or Frodo?
No, it's Kodo because he said. I'm pretty sure he said Kodo. Kodo.
I mean,
because Kodo was the first one he met, right? I'll name you Kodo. Don't worry, I'll give you a name too. Hold on a minute, Podo. All right, let's move on.
Or was it Podo and Kodo? I don't even know.
It was Kodo and Podo. Kodo first and Podo.
They're terrible names. I have a clip of it later. We'll have to endure it. We just have to live with it.
So I kept trying to dig a little deeper in this movie and trying to understand the character development and understand what they were trying to really tell me. And I couldn't understand why everything was always seeing things through other eyes, like the witch eye rings. Mm-hmm. That was never really explained to my satisfaction. I mean, I know there's lore there about witches and eyes and you know, I don't know, I've never seen a ring before.
I was shocked the first time Rip Torn is talking to someone like they've got a walkie-talkie and they're far away.
Right.
Like, I'm just like, what is happening right now? I didn't like that magic.
I was shocked when Rip Torn turned to the side and I saw his profile and I realized he had a nose prosthetic.
That was
Gina's like, that's not really his nose, is it?
Whoa.
I don't think it is, but that's a pretty impressive nose. I don't remember
Is he a Birdman?
No, fake, but they also didn't use it later. Like, there was later scenes where they just didn't have the nose.
And okay, all right.
So I think I think they gave up on it. I don't know what the deal was.
My fake trivia for this movie is that Rip Torn inspired Humpty Hump later.
I like that.
It's a Humpty Hump.
Yeah, if it's gold, you'd have had it. Rip Torn is interesting, again, because it's been since the 80s. I never knew this was Rip Torn until this time. In fact, the credits are rolling in the beginning after that horrendous title card. Whose art was that? Anyway.
You mean I'm over at somebody's house and they're showing me the slideshows of the recent nature expedition?
Yeah, I guess
that,
so.
That opening credit?
I guess that's the one I'm referring to. It is really bad. Yeah. But anyway, I'm watching that and I see Rip Torn. I go, what? Rip Torn's in this? Come on now. What doing what? I didn't realize he was the bad guy, the good guy, or any of those things.
I had never put it together either until this viewing, and I was the same way. I'm like, oh, wait, that's Rip Torn. I know who this guy is.
Yeah, he's great.
And I don't like it.
Yeah. I like Rip Torn a lot and will never tire of his presence.
I did too, but I couldn't decide about his acting in this one because I couldn't tell. Was he supposed to be? I couldn't tell what his confidence level was supposed to be with his magic. He didn't seem very. One minute he seemed like he was very full of himself. The next minute he was running away.
Yeah, kind of.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of inconsistent. I know from the Beastmaster. You mean the movie where the primary actor has to fall in love with his cousin, first cousin.
Wait, is that? How's that
that's
work?
His first cousin.
Oh, is it really?
That's his first cousin.
Really?
No.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out the lineage there.
Oh,
uncle, yeah, uncle dad. She kept calling her his dad, uncle.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So, right, oh, sure. Don't tell me that.
Yeah, I cousins, kissing cousins.
I
kissing
don't first need cousins. To know this. Okay, well, that's good info.
Well, I mean,
Beastmaster indeed.
I mean, I need a trope alert for this because
okay.
It's so obvious.
I have one right here.
Of course, the first time you see a woman naked, that's the woman you're going to fall in love with.
Yeah,
and be with. Like, you can't help yourself. Mm-hmm. If it's your first cousin, so be it. Like, yeah. That's what happens.
Well, that's the reason why, because they had like ladies back in the village. Can we talk about the village for a minute?
Yeah, do it.
By the way, adoptive dad brings back the baby to the village and he holds him up like Simba style. He's like, "Ooh, this is the one." And that was a weird meeting. Mm-hmm. But that whole town, I wasn't sad to see those villagers go.
They were, you're all right with that? With that happening?
They were. Yeah, they
and
were,
did all the, I guess the dog people. Yanked him away. I don't know where he could have put him where they wouldn't have found him. But anyway, whatever. The dog drug him away. So all the other farmers he was with, they bit it too, right? They all died.
Yeah, they all perished.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The dog drug him away. So then he took the dog back and burned it. Like, wow, dude.
Yeah.
That's right. That.
And I think
that,
they were storing a whole bunch of propane tanks in those tree forts.
Yeah.
That they were
oh,
wearing.
Absolutely. It's very explosive. Not a good place to keep your explosives in the village.
Yeah.
It was propane and propane accessories. And, one of the things in the oral history was that they didn't get a good shot of the house on stilts coming down because, they had set it on fire and expected it to, like, the guy who set it on fire was like, it's going to take this many hours for it to burn down. Mm-hmm. So we got to do that now. And they're setting up cameras and it comes down before they're ready to shoot. Like it came down so much faster that they were told. So, one of the camera guys is like, does some handheld stuff so that you can see it, but it's not as much as they expected.
Sure. It's a thing, man. There's so much I want to say about it. All right, here's a... Oh, actually, you know what? We're at this stage. What do you think grossed me out?
Oh,
it's going to be a little esoteric. It's going to be a little...
I actually had that. Let me see. I'll tell you what grossed me out, and let's see if it lines up.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so there's that road that leads into the high priest tower, right? And there's like...
With all the people jerky on the side?
Yeah, it's people jerky. Mm-hmm. All right, I was fine with all the people jerky except for one once they stopped and lingered on for a really long time. There was a guy's foot over there, and there was still rotten flesh and meat.
Yeah. Ugh.
Yeah.
It was crispy. It was not good.
Yeah, that didn't gross me out. Gross. That to me was all just special effects and stuff. So for me, it would be any other guesses?
Kissing a sister.
Well, now that I know
cousin, that's right.
Now that I know that actually might jump up the list because I didn't realize they were first cousins. But you're totally right; they are.
Wait! I got a second one.
All right,
was it when Singer kissed the ferret?
No.
Give a little tongue.
Nope. I'll tell you the answer. Here's the answer. Randy, did you have a take? Sorry, didn't mean to.
I have a weird one for me that's definitely not shared with you, and that's the scene when they're all escaping and they get on the ferry and they're pulling a rope. So the rope is in the lake and they're pulling it. Mm-hmm. They keep grabbing this rope.
Sure.
Those ropes are disgusting. Mm-hmm. Like in reality, if you lay a big heavy rope into a lake all day and night for years, and then you start yanking on it, it's the most gross thing you'll ever experience.
Yeah. And now, it would be slimy and not easy to hold either. That seemed like a really dumb way to have a ferry, because if you're being chased, all they really have to do is just cut the rope on the side they're on.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to pull.
Just wait.
Yeah.
And I love that they cut the rope and then they're like floating along. I'm like, oh, great move, guys. Yeah. You really got away from people who can just walk around to the other side of the lake.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
But those were death guards. They weren't the smartest, right?
No, they were
anyway,
just, like,
I
they were,
I just
no,
like.
No, no, those were the priests.
They were like zombies, sort of, right?
The grossness of that rope, for some reason, got to me, but not probably not Scott.
I like that. I like where your head went. No, the gross thing for me is a thing that just only because I've had experience with ferrets. I had a ferret once. I knew friends that had ferrets. I went through a real rodent period in my life where I had like gerbils and guinea pigs and all that kind of stuff.
Some rats.
And rodent or ferrets stink
bad. Stink.
Yeah. Naturally,
they
like,
smell
in,
like that,
they
that.
Just smell. All the time.
Don't they have like that concentrated pee that they just...
That, that but like, they've also got some gland stuff where they're always putting off scents and it's horrendous. Right. So when they're all snuggling up with them, I'm like, dude, get the F And like the only reason that tiger did it, because the tiger's like, oh my gosh, is this as bad as it smells? Like, I guarantee right. that tiger just was like curious because tigers,
Mr.
you know.
Mr. Singer.
So that's
all I can smell is Lady Clairol.
Right. Yeah, that's hilarious.
They apparently, one of the reasons they went through so many ferrets was they were trying to find one that was willing to get close to the tiger.
Oh, is
so
it? That's a good crazy. Point.
That's how they got that shot. And that apparently there's a ton of shots, and I didn't ever notice them first, but I read this after, where there's plexiglass right there in plain sight, but you're not noticing it, and it's between the tiger and whatever else.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm actually a little impressed that they got some of those combo animal things. I mean, knowing what we know about how animals were treated in the 80s in terms of film, and there weren't as many rules and stuff, it kind of bums me out. But the end effect, if you're not thinking about that, if you're just thinking about the immersion of it, it's pretty good. Like,
yeah,
the tiger seemed to do what you wanted it to do. It didn't, you know, it seemed a little slow. It didn't seem as buff and awesome as everybody was making the tiger out to be. But, you know, he got the job done. The ferrets seemed to be these weirdly sentient creatures that he could send on errands and stuff. Like, that stuff pulled off okay.
Yeah. Descend into a room on a string.
Yeah, yeah. It was okay, that stuff.
This movie kept throwing me out and bringing me back in. Mm-hmm. Throw me out, bring me back in. So yep. It was like stuff like, there'd be like 1 minute where I'm like, oh, that's a really interesting idea. And then the next minute I'm like, why is the Beastmaster doing the thing when he can he's supposed to be able to communicate telepathically? Why has he got it? Why has he got to go do that? I was like, okay,
there he is.
That's it. He did the backwards suck in noise thing. Yeah.
Do you think he was really making that, or you think he was just...
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely Mark's. Matter of fact, I think he probably demanded it. He's like, it doesn't make any sense.
He demanded it.
To make this noise.
It's my contract to make the noise.
The guy sounded like... Well, we'll get to it in clips, but he sounded like Howard on Better Call Saul, which I know... I'll play it later, and you guys can...
Apparently, speaking of demands, apparently someone, not Tanya Roberts, but someone else on the film demanded that her character survive the end. The character was originally written to die at the end, and they went ahead and saved her.
Is that the witch woman who flew off as a dove? Was that Janet Jones or somebody, maybe?
No. I'm saying some executive producer was like, we're not going to pay for this movie if you kill off Kiri in the script. And so Tanya Roberts' character gets to live to the end. I'm like, it would have been so typical for this movie, though, to have the woman die at the end. Like, it just would have, it would have fit the badness of this movie. You
know? Yeah, I think so.
It also would have made it easier for a sequel where he's just kind of alone. Beastmaster.
A sequel,
traveling.
You say?
Well, I guess that's true. They did have many sequels, didn't they?
Yeah. There was that
a
TV,
sequel,
that,
a TV series.
Yeah. How
say?
Was that TV series in the early aughts? I never saw it.
And did you see any of the stuff during the early aughts that was fantasy driven?
Yeah, it's like that.
Low budget kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's like Xena and Hercules
just in that
and all that.
Same vein.
Okay. I always kind of meant to watch it because it seemed like, you know, hey, it's the Beastmaster. Right. I should watch this, but never got around to seeing any of those. The guy that's in it, the Beastmaster of the TV series, is weird looking. He does not look Mark Singer-y at all. Just a very different looking dude.
Is that a good or a bad thing?
But it was that era where you had like what's the other one they did a TV version of No One Lives Forever. Who am I thinking of?
Highlander.
The Highlander series.
Oh yeah, Highlander.
It's cheesy shit, man. That thing was so bad. I think. I'm gonna get emails about that. A lot of people really like the show, but
all those shows are TV was different than people.
Right. They're all those shows are not aging well, is what we're saying.
Yeah.
I really genuinely think I liked Quantum Leap in its day.
Yeah.
But
it has not aged well
at all. It's
bad. I loved Sliders. I mean,
That might be fighting words, but you love Quantum Leap.
I love Quantum Leap.
Yeah. Do you agree that it's not as good as we think it is? Or
no, it definitely has not held up, but there's a nostalgia that I have for that surpasses it not being able to hold up.
And that's how I feel about this. To me, this movie will always be in that thing of, I know this is bad, it's okay, you know?
Like, but, you know, it is bad, but I mean, at its core, it's a story that's been told a million times, and it is, you know, they do a fine job of keeping me engaged most of the film. Yeah. So, I mean,
I was never bored in this. I was always having a good time.
No, you can't get, if you're bored, you're not doing it right.
Right. It's that, I don't know. Now, I never saw the sequel. So, again, you'd think that I'd really be into the idea of a follow up because I was so into it when I was younger, but I never did. It's Mark Singer again. I don't think she comes back, though. She was off doing.
I don't believe so.
Didn't she do Sheena?
Did she do Sheena?
Yeah, Queen of the Jungle deal. Maybe not Sheena. Yeah. Something like that.
Let's see here.
She was a.
Yeah, she did. She did do Sheena. You're right. Okay. So, 84, a couple years later, like I said, that whole run during the 80s of these fantasy adventure returns, that kind of stuff.
There it is. Sheena, 1984. That movie was not good.
That was not. It was okay.
But
it
she looks incredible in that movie. You know what? That's the other thing is she doesn't look like some 70s, 80s chick in this movie. She to me, her beauty transcends decades and she just looks like she would be as gorgeous today and still is. She looks great for her age. And I used to have.
She's like, thanks for that, Scott.
But it's because of the Beastmaster. I have this crush on her. Like it's that movie.
Crush
it's not,
or lust.
It's not just because her boobs were out. It was like,
but it helps.
It helps, but it was something else going on there. And she didn't. And like Randy pointed out,
is it her butt cheeks? Maybe you a leg thigh man? Maybe I don't.
I mean, maybe. But I will agree that she has very little to do. She hardly says anything. She's mostly just in trouble, and you got to save her.
The bad thing is, no, not really. You didn't have to ever really save her. She didn't have to be saved. She was always just doing her business because she was on her own adventure. Mm. And Mark Singer kept coming along and futzing it up every single time because she was there to save Uncle. And she was doing just fine. Then Mark Singer had to come along in his little man baby self. Mm-hmm. And he was, it's like, look at me, look at me. And then he's like, now I'm going to cry about my dad, who I don't know is my dad, telling me that I'm a freak. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah, that wasn't cool.
We knew it was his dad, but he didn't know that.
Did we not? I don't know that I ever knew until this viewing.
Well, you had to. You didn't know that when he was taken.
I don't think when I was younger, I had that kind of.
Oh, maybe not when he was younger.
Yeah, when I was younger, I didn't have that kind of word? I can't think of the word, but.
A lot of aspects of this film that are just teenage boy fantasies all crammed together. Mm-hmm. Like now I can't stand the fact that when he first meets her, he tries to trick her with the tiger scaring her. Mm-hmm. And there's supposed to be comic relief there where he's like, shush, move off, run away. Don't let her see that I'm talking to you. Like, but now it's just like, this is terrible. This is like, he doesn't have consent to kiss her.
Or lay on top of her or anything.
Yeah. 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 But it's okay because it's his cousin, so it's okay.
I see. South. I forgot.
Yeah.
But on the script, there's just, a greasy teenage boy going, and he's going to, this is how he gets girls.
Yeah.
Would it be less creepy or more creepy if, like I said, he was like 12 or 13, just not understanding his own adolescence at this point?
Okay, George R.R. Martin.
I'm just saying. I'm just asking, would it be more or less acceptable to you? It's not a right answer. I'm just saying
it would be more understandable if he was 16 doing some of the things he does.
Yeah. Right. And that's, again, you're right. That's who they're aiming this at. Like that's who's going to watch this. This was not for this was not for anybody who, if you like schlock, it was for you. If you were a teenage boy, this was for you. If you, enjoyed a really smartly written, made film. Right. This was probably not for you. This was like kind of garbage.
How do you think Mark Singer was during the filming of this movie?
All accounts, he's a nice, pretty nice dude.
I didn't say whether he's nice or not. I'm asking how old he was.
Oh, 25. I thought you said, I'm sorry.
During the filming of this movie, how old do you think he was?
25.
Not even close. 34.
Oh, really?
Whoa. Really?
Wow. Really? Is that true?
I think. Okay. Yeah. Is that right? Born in 48.
Yeah, that's 30, right.
32. Yep. 34.
That's crazy. He looks young today. I was looking at a picture of him here recently and it's like, oh, hey, Mark Singer, you hold up, dude. Like that. I mean, he's not doing anything, but.
Born in 48. He's old enough to be a great grandfather now.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. And he probably is. And that baby was born in the belly of a cow. Bing, 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 bing. Right.
It's okay because Tanya Roberts was like, 28 or something? Because she was born in 55.
Yeah, so she's just, what, 60?
She was just right under the maybe limit there, 37.
Yeah. That is why I was misled by the film about them, because she's not, 20 years younger than him in reality.
Right. Oh, yeah, no.
If this was supposed to be during the time period that we assume that it takes place, both of those people would be senior citizens at this point.
I mean, that's the other thing. Yeah, this movie has a lot of old men for its setting. Yeah. That's a little discordant.
Yeah. It was a good guy that played his dad.
The dick of the village.
Yeah, but the older version of him, when he's like sipping his tea and the barbarians are on their way or whatever. I don't know.
Not Ben Hammer, but the older guy who was used his glaive to harass the other villagers because he thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think that's him. I like the look of that actor. Like,
yeah,
he pulled off old bald guy in a village better than most of them did.
He looked cool when he took his little squat stance.
Yeah.
And he drew the line of the sand.
Yeah.
He's like, come on. Mm-hmm. And you thought, oh, he's old school fighter. He's going to really kick some trash here. And then he immediately gets killed by the first horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't even swing his sword. He's holding his sword like he's going to attack. And they just kind of
postures approach. Well.
He does. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That was kind of like,
oh, darn. I really thought this was going to work.
I did too. I know. I thought it was going to scare these guys off. Didn't work.
Oh, let me try it again. Blah! Nope. You're dead. You're done.
I think it was. Was it Ben Hammer?
Ben Hammer. Is that his name? Older. It says he's credited as his older dad. Because I don't know why they had two dads, but they did.
It was the same dad for both of them, but I think it was saying young Dar's father. I think they listed that weird.
Yeah, young Dar's father is Ben Hammer. That's different than dude what was.
I thought it was still Ben Hammer both times.
Maybe it is.
Different guy?
You know what? You're right. It is.
I think so too.
Weird. I think you're right.
By the way, if you're on a, back road somewhere, come across the witch who's got one hell of a big bonfire going. Stabbing in the back, perfect, good idea. Do it.
Throw a glaive into their back. Yeah, why not?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Glaive them right in the back.
Yeah.
So was that witch dead? Did she have like one trick left?
They always laugh when they leave. They always giggle when they're dead. So I assume she's dead. Like, were we all out of witches by the end? Were all the witches die, or did we have some witches left?
No, the one that the
witch in the bucket.
Well, we have one that's unceremoniously killed, and we have one that is stabbed with the glaive, and then we have one that flies off as a dove.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and the one that was stabbed up into the ceiling too.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's the unceremoniously.
I guess she was ceremoniously killed, but
that was pretty ceremonious. Yeah.
Go ahead.
What I know for sure about that scene is that my 10-year-old was not emotionally prepared to see a baby get branded. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
They even go
they
so
can
far
do
as
that?
They show you the brand working on a piece of leather first.
Yeah.
Really let you know this is going to be terrible torture. And the baby starts screaming. Yeah.
It was rough.
Can you not protect me from this, father?
Well, what's also weird about that is I don't understand what the point is. She's about to sacrifice the kid. So why brand him first? Just kill
ritual?
Him.
Ritual? That's what I was thinking. It's like, well, that's the reason why she branded him, because it's part of the ritual to say he's owned by us and we're passing him through here. But then the mark ended up representing his mark to be the one.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. I'm not saying
that's
strong.
One of the first things that Rip Torn says is that he'll die bearing the brand of Ra or whatever it is.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
By his hand. Yeah.
It was like Ra or something like Da or Ga.
Da. Yeah. Ra.
Yeah. Ra. Da. Ya. Ya. Ya.
What was the name of the tiger? Who can say the name of the tiger? Was it like
just Ru? R H U.
Yeah.
When he first named him, he went, "Your name is."
Yeah. I couldn't tell. Like I said. Man, if you didn't turn on closed captions for this one, you didn't catch no names.
No,
I had to turn on closed captioning because Tina was sleeping for some of it and was like, all right, well, I'll keep the sound a little bit low and turn on closed captioning. Glad I did.
It
leads to another piece of fake trivia that I wrote.
What do you got there?
The names in this movie, Dar, Zed, Ru, were the basis for the original Diablo runes.
Oh, very nice. The Dar rune. Oh, man.
Really?
That thing was. No,
you
he's
never
making
played
that
Diablo.
Up.
Fake, those fake were trivia. The names of all the runes.
Fake trivia.
Was there a Poto and a Kodo rune?
Yeah. there's a Kodo in World of Warcraft. You can ride it. It's a mount.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. They should call it the Frodo. Anyway.
Poodoo is Star Wars poop.
Yeah. It's Star Wars poop. Specifically, you know what's great is we don't know what a poo, or we don't know what a, well, we know what poodoo is. So when they say Bantha poodoo, they mean it's Bantha turd, a Bantha turd, right? All right. Well, never mind.
Yeah. You got to assume, right?
You have to assume. So do we have a chick in the bucket in here or not? That's the question.
I think all the witches were taken care of.
Did we not miss anything? Because the kid became the
mostly
king.
Mostly everybody we encounter either
McDowell's
dies or is so inconsequential that.
McDowell stayed around to be head of security or whatever. Everybody.
Anya's naked friend, chick in the bucket.
Oh,
chick
you know what? There you go.
Don't you know it's dangerous to leave a bucket lying around?
There you go.
She loses. Yeah.
She's hanging.
Anya's naked friend.
Where did she go? She followed. What?
She's backup boots.
Tiger. What did she follow? What she puts on. She puts on some magical clothing that just jumps onto you.
Right.
And then she followed the tiger, right?
Well, what I thought happened there, by the way, okay, so when Tanya Roberts sneaks out of there to get her gear on, I thought what happened, my memory when I was a kid was that, oh, hey, she's bad, it turns out. She's sneaking around.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, where's she going?
Yeah, and then this one, it had been so long, I forgot. So then when she did it again, I went, oh, she's bad. She knows a secret doorway or whatever. And then she just came back with cooler stuff. That's kind of a chick in the bucket storyline because we don't know where the hell she went or why she knows it.
That must have been. That's probably part of the deleted scenes.
Yeah,
yeah. They mentioned it, and she's on her own quest, and she has been trained by an ancient force that, and so she's supposed to have her own abilities and powers. And they never approach it. So maybe her abilities and powers are the chick.
Maybe. I don't know.
And it seems like that little hidden doorway thing might have been handy for them, right? Because aren't they kind of trapped in that room a little bit?
Yeah. Well, they were in a hallway at that point, right? Where they were like, okay, sorry, past the gravity area.
They weren't in the skull room. They weren't in the skull well.
Right.
Okay.
And so,
ventilator shaft.
Yeah, that's it. That was basically what that was. That was the equivalent of let's go through the ventilator shaft.
Yeah, it was. It was dumb. That stuff's dumb.
As badly
come to Eternia, we'll have a few laughs.
I gotta say, as badly as this movie is written, and I mean, there are huge segments where I was just like, why is there no dialogue? Did the writers, the director,
did they forget to write something?
Yeah.
Well, what's funny about that is that I'll let you finish that thought, but I'm going to tell you this because I'll forget if I don't. The director was offered by Dino De Laurentiis. He was offered the role or offered the directorship of Conan the Destroyer. He reportedly turned it down because he thought the script was bad. And I read that and go, what? Really? You thought that script was bad? Sorry. All right. Say what you were going to say.
As bad as the script was, so totally needed an actual screenwriter to come in and just fix all the dialogue. Like it's the overall concept was okay.
Yeah.
Like they had an outline that they could film through, could imagine like that they were storyboarding all of this going, this actually looks pretty good. We're going to have, a very compelling overall idea. It's really, really based on other things we'd already seen. Right. And read. Right. So,
sure.
So like they didn't have any new ideas is the problem, but what they had, it's fine, it's good.
Yeah, it does. It
definition of this looks good on paper.
Yeah,
right,
there you go.
Exactly.
And I kind of want to see the director's cut just so I can see if I see what they were meant to do here and they didn't do it.
So you think this will go from 50% to like 80% with that director's cut there? Is that
its Metascore is 18.
Wow, that's lower than I thought it would have been.
Yeah, that's the Metascore though. Like overall,
but this is
like,
a really old
like...
movie. So, is that Metascore include the old written reviews as well?
Sure, yeah. but it includes a lot of people seeing it recently for the first time.
Right.
Whereas, like if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's like 44% or something. So, it's not as bad.
Yeah, that seems reasonable to me that it would be in the 40s. 50s maybe.
That's about what you would expect. With a film like this, I mean, out of the people who have seen it, the people who probably see it, I mean, no one's going to watch
thing.
Yeah, no one's going to watch
it
this.
For the kitsch factor.
Yeah, right. No one's going to be flipping through Prime or Netflix and go, oh, the Beastmaster, I wonder what that's all about. No, they're going to, you kind of know what you're going
for. They might do that as an old viewer, like you said, because they have some nostalgia for it, but nobody's going to do it on purpose.
Right.
Like,
you're definitely not going to see the screenshots and go, oh, what is this?
What is this incredible thing? I mean, I'm sure someone does. I'd love to meet somebody who just does this, who goes and tries to. Oh. We do it for Film Sack all the time. We'll find something none of us have ever seen and we would never see otherwise. And then we do it for the show. But just for, you know, someone just trying to satiate their entertainment time.
Right.
Does anyone do that? I don't think so. Like, I wouldn't.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah. Because it's just, I don't know. It exists for a reason. It's on Amazon. Amazon must see it as a value to have it there. Or else they wouldn't have done whatever licensing
unless, unless the owners just went and said, yeah, you know, just put it on there. Yeah. We're not going to charge anything. Just let's see what happens.
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible that's how that works. I don't know. This stuff is French to me. All right. I have a bunch of clips that I captured from
French
this film.
To me. All right.
I don't know what that means. these clips here were taken from the film, and I think you're going to enjoy them. That's what I think.
Yay.
So there's not a ton this week because it's not a lot of dialogue, but
no, there's a lot of, yeah, just posturing and swinging swords and sticks.
So
sticks.
I wrote here, I can't believe they did one of these. All right. So let's see what I meant by that. Oh yeah, they had this musical bump where they would do the thing. Like the gerbil or whatever, the meme where he turns around, looks at the camera.
Yeah.
It's like
oh yeah, right. Yeah. The surprise chipmunk or something.
It's cheap, but it works.
I guess.
I mean, I felt stimulated.
Did you? I have several things to say about the music. We'll talk about music in a
moment. Oh, okay. I'm very mixed on it. Super mixed on the soundtrack. Okay. Here's Mark Singer's first caw noise. There's the first one. Here's somebody wanting to get out of a thing.
You two got me into this, now get me out.
All right, this is where he starts to sound like Howard. Here's another version of that.
Thanks.
And just him being.
Thanks.
what is that from?
It's when the ferret.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He's in the quicksand and they that knock his. Belt on the ground. Thanks.
That just seems like it's from the Beastmaster. That's weird.
Well, a lot of ADR in this movie. We should mention that.
Yeah.
Lots of people.
Really solid quicksand.
Yeah, like, yeah, it looked good.
There's a lot of movies. A lot of movies and TV shows from the 60s to mid 80s that use quicksand as a danger. And some of it's kind of, some of it's not.
I haven't
scary,
seen this good looking quicksand since that Laverne and Shirley episode with Lenny and Squiggy.
Oh, that was the one I was going to say wasn't good. Like, for me, great
actually
quicksand
tar pits,
is like,
I think.
Yeah. Great quicksand is like Blazing Saddles. Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah, that's scary, quicksand.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Maybe didn't Indiana Jones fall in some quicksand once, and it was pretty good?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? It was in the fourth one, but this quicksand scene was actually pretty effective because he had to use a snake. He had to grab a snake to pull out.
That's right, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
Why did it have to be snakes, Marion?
Why did it have to be snakes?
All right, here's one. Complicated naming system of this movie. Here you go.
I'm going to name you Kodo. You get a name too. Podo. Kodo. And Podo.
I love that he had to do it again. Like, Kodo.
That is so.
It's really driving him. Yeah. I didn't catch it when I was watching it, but somebody had to be making those little squeak noises.
Yeah.
And then do a different set of them for Podo.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Did you notice the Dances with Wolves flourish playing as music?
Oh, big time! Yeah, got a little bit of crescendo there. Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to pull that pin out too soon. But
okay.
did this guy listen to a lot of Battlestar Galactica during the 70s?
This is what. Yes. This is what I want to talk about.
But
pin is in this. We're getting to
it. That grenade remains intact. Everyone okay? All right. Here's where we get to find out what his name is when he talks to the Chicky Poo.
Who are you?
I'm Dar.
I'm Dar. I'm Howard.
I'm Dar.
I'm Howard. That
Who
job
are
offer
you,
is still open.
Cousin?
Yeah, it's really bad. He's no threat to her.
I'm no threat to you.
Okay, that sounds like Howard.
I'm no threat to you.
I don't know.
It actually sounds like Brian Dunaway's impersonation of there's a call for Pee Wee Herman at the front end.
it does.
I'm no threat to you.
Oh, weird.
I'm no threat for you.
What is he saying? I'm no threat to you?
Threat to you,
it's a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it is weird. All right, here's the town called Emer.
My village, Emer, was destroyed by the Jun Horde.
The Jun Horde?
The Jun Horde.
Yeah. Okay, that's stupid. It's really dumb. Here's the
Jun. You know what? On that helmet of the leader, though.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Oh, yeah,
I will give Mark Singer this. He really did. It looks like he had tried to learn how to pronounce each of the stupid things they were saying.
Yeah, he went all in. Yeah. The guy tried real
Rip
hard.
Rip Torn, not so much. Rip Torn was kind of like, What is it? You're okay, good enough.
It's the other thing that reminds me of Mark Hamill. I think they come from the same school of acting, which is way overacting. Like, they both do this, this whole, what do you mean? I was going to go to Tosche Station for some power. You know, it's just this way too loud kind of acting.
This R2 has a bad moderator, whatever.
Yeah, moderator, trader, raider.
Moderator. Right,
here's a horrible Dar laugh. This is kind of a during a somewhat inappropriate, like he was just being inappropriate with her, but here's his laugh. Yeah, you're getting your way there, buddy.
That's a smoker's laugh.
Yeah, it sounded like one. All right, how about this? We're not allowed to shorten our words at all in this movie is what I wrote. Nobody will use contraction. Jeez, I almost said conjunction. You can't use contractions in this movie, and here's proof.
It is now time for him to free his father, the king.
I have just come from Arrak. Mayax has total power. It will be difficult to defeat him.
He will not stop me from freeing my father.
Just say he won't. He won't stop me from freeing. Just say it.
He'll not stop me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not a big deal. All right. I got a prom clip from Brian Ibbett's mom. This is the night things got weird. This is a weird prom night. Check it out.
Five women in white. Things
got weird.
Yeah. Here you go. Here it is.
Five women in white. Surrounded by priests in red.
You're right. They're to be sacrificed.
Jeez. You guys had weird proms, dude. Weird.
We did, yeah. Red and white were our colors, so yeah, it's only appropriate.
Yep.
I thought you were gonna grab him when he first meets Kira, like he's like face to face with her, super close. There's a bunch of I'm trying to seduce you potential.
Oh yeah, and he gets right there. The problem is he's talking about the cat. Then and it was just, I don't know, it's too obscure. Mm-hmm. Here's the McDowell's guy laughing. It's pretty good.
Cleo McDowell.
Whatever, JJ, get a job.
Yep. He's pretty great.
Home of the Big Mick.
I love that.
Golden Arcs.
I love that Dunaway is refusing to acknowledge the McDowell's reference and only will have it.
Look, this is how it goes. In 82, there have been no McDowell's.
Yeah.
There had only been good times.
Yeah.
There have been other things too, but that was the only thing I knew him from until that point. So fair I refuse enough. To speak sacrilege of a film after this film. Not going to do it.
I get it. I understand. You're very. The timeline's very important to you, obviously.
Very important.
Here's a weird short laugh. Oh, wait, no. This is a coward thing. Sorry. Let's do this.
Why me? I'm a coward.
Oh, the reluctant sidekick.
Why me? And then he did that laugh.
How am I supposed to feel again? Okay, silly. Okay.
All right, here's a caw. All right, there's another caw. Oh, here's a beat. Oh. What? Friend and Beastmaster. Oh, here.
He is a friend. He is the Beastmaster.
Okay. I don't know what those two things have to do with each other, but it's fine. Then the king says this.
He is a freak. The freak who speaks to animals.
You freak. Well, he saved me. He saved me from certain imprisoned death.
Don't look at my character too closely. Yep. Somehow I had another child after being imprisoned, and now my eyes are gone.
Yep. And he
don't
had
look too close.
A horribly fake beard and mustache. Really fake. Mm-hmm. All right.
More fake than those hair clips that Rip Torn had on with the skulls on them.
Yeah, I'd say so. Hey, check this out. This is the thing in the movie that made me laugh the hardest. It's the part of the movie that could fit in any like Mel Brooks parody or like, I don't know, like one of the, like Airplane or something, like one of those kinds of comedies, Scary Movie, whatever, one of those. This is a line in it. It was not meant to be funny, but I laughed out loud when I heard it. So here it is.
We must fight!
No, we must flee!
No, we must flee.
That felt Monty Python-ish, didn't it?
It really did. Totally. It really did. I laughed so
it's
hard.
Quiet. It's like quiet, like audience guy.
Yeah.
Right. I'm so glad you
let him go.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm so glad. That's the best thing you captured like in a long time.
I agree. I laughed really hard. All right. Here's the kid whispering Beastmaster, and I just thought it was weird. So here it is.
Beastmaster.
Okay, that's all we got there.
The Beastmaster.
That's the end of that. Now time for this. The checklist goes like this. When Tron water is on your neck, you can't move. Check.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
It was weird. It reminded me of Tron water, though. Kind of glowy blue water.
Yeah, I see that.
Mm-hmm. Head soup, check. They had a nice head soup going there.
Oh, yeah, I thought about that. I was like.
And then he makes his tiger smell it, too. Like, ooh, does this smell off to you?
Yeah. Oh, right.
This
head.
Soup is people.
Yeah. Which doesn't make sense because those hugger guys squeeze everything out of you and there's nothing left. I don't know why they got a few heads laying around. But
the overly huggy vampires that were involved, that I was totally confused about the Beastmaster's reasoning to come into that, you know, that Keebler Elf vampire tree. And then he released the guy that was from the cage, and the guy was safe in the cage, and mm-hmm. then he got ate.
Yeah, he did. He done got ate. Mm-hmm.
There was problems in that scene, and then the vampire tried to grab him, but then it was just dropped him off a medallion. So
yeah, that was weird how he gave him the medallion. Right?
Yeah, so he could retrieve him later. It's like, oh, you are our people.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Could those people
like
been,
birds too? We like birds.
Yeah, birds are great. Could they okay, have been so any stupider about the rings that were had eyeballs in them? Like, how stupid just, is
oh,
everybody?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. This guy, go ahead.
I brought it up in my opening, and God. it's stuck in my craw. I don't understand having these powers and not really expanding them as far as you can go. So, like, yeah, it makes sense that you would have a tiger, right? That's great DPS. Mm-hmm. And your Eyes of the Beast hawk or eagle gives you incredible kind of mobility powers.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you have, like, the ferrets are fine. They're not the best example of stealthy small space workers. Like, a raccoon would probably be way, way better. Mm. But whatever.
Yeah.
But why didn't he keep going? Like, you should have a bear. Like, you should absolutely have a bear.
Yeah.
There's
right.
no
the,
reason
and the
to
bear,
not have a
bear. He engaged with the bear. You know, we saw the bear.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't sure.
Well, maybe that
I
bear
wasn't
died.
Sure. I don't know what land this was, but it was a land of.
What's the average lifespan of a? I'm going to actually find out. How long does a bear live? How long does a bear,
how long does a bear live?
Live?
Okay, but how long does a bear live in this environment?
Okay, I get it. That there is definitely an environmental thing. I think it's why they painted the tiger black, because
yeah,
it would have looked discordant if they didn't. But yeah. I'm just saying, like, he should have shown up to that final battle with a zoo of fighters.
Mm-hmm. And like Ace Ventura.
Right.
Holding his hands out, you know.
An army of
nine at three.
Oh,
here
interesting.
Comes my beast.
Real quick here, an average of 25 years for your average a large brown or black bear, 25 years. Hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
So if that bear was like everybody else, probably playing younger than he actually was, he'd probably be dead.
Yeah, he'd be dead. Everybody played younger than they were. All right. How about, my final one is hawks that can carry 8 times their body weight. Check.
Yeah, so was that an eagle or a hawk? Mm-hmm. I kept forgetting. I'm like, am I supposed to be looking at an eagle or a hawk? It says eagle, but
actually,
I'm thinking hawk. It functions like a hawk.
A black eagle.
Like an eagle.
It'd be a black eagle.
What is... Yeah,
it's they dyed the eagle too.
Yeah, they dyed the eagle. Well, there are actual black eagles, but it did seem like they were going for a color tone with everything. It's like, okay, these are dark weasels, right.
dark weasels.
That'd be a great sequel title, Beastmaster 3: uh-huh. The Dark Weasels.
I just want to go around the table. Does anybody have an idea for another beast he could have added to his core?
That was the only beast that we encountered was the bear. The bear was a good one because we actually saw it in that world, so we know he exists. And there were ponies. Like, we saw ponies.
Crocodiles
so
would be cool, like a great big croc would be cool.
Yeah, or a boar.
Yeah, boar. Yeah, like just do all the World of Warcraft ones. Do a boar.
Yeah.
But like why limit yourself to one bird? Like birds are so useful.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We had the is that a Brahm cow? What kind of cow is that? Is it a what do they call those?
What
things?
Do you mean? Oh, you
it's not like a regular cow. It's like
a Brahma?
Usually
you don't mean the two-headed ones in Fallout, right?
Yeah, that's the ones, the two-headed ones. No. The type of cow they had.
Oh.
That they transferred the baby to.
The baby cow? The baby birthing cow?
I thought that was just a cow. Yeah. It was just a cow? No. I don't know.
It's a specific kind of cow.
It didn't
have this kind
it
of
didn't
cows
have udders.
Here.
It was a male cow, by the way. That thing did not have udders.
It's a witch.
I really enjoyed the effect of the bellies growing and shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was very well done if you don't think about it too much.
Oh, yeah.
If you think about how did they do that on that cow, don't think about it. Don't think about it.
If you are, stop thinking about it. I agree. All right, here's check it out. Trek Connection. Daryl sent this. Tony Epper is June Leader. He's the guy with the crazy helmet. Or Jun, I guess. In DS9, he played a drunken Klingon in the fifth season episode Apocalypse Rising. The actor Rod Loomis played Zed. In TNG, played Dr. Paul Mannheim. For the first season episode, We'll Always Have Paris. And then Judy Heiss, who played the June one of the priest ladies. She's a witch. She was a red shirt security guard in Day of the Dove and Wink of the Eye in TOS. So there's that. Wait, TOS? Wow.
Original series.
Was she like 15?
Remember, this film was in 82, so, you know, that would have been
that
like,
was 20-some years absolutely. Earlier.
14 years earlier.
Kind of amazing that Rip Torn was never in Star Trek, but I guess because I associate him with Men in Black, and he just seems like he's got something to do with aliens.
He's already got the Romulan eyebrows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, that's exactly what I thought when I saw him. I was like, what? Is he a Romulan?
Then if we're gonna pick
profile, and I'm like,
if we're picking favorite Rip Torn stuff, Dodgeball is one of my favorites, where he throws a wrench. What's the name?
Right, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Yeah,
he just passed away, so
yeah, had a rough last few years too.
Did he? I didn't know that.
Lost stuff, public drunkenness and disorderliness and stuff. And
oh man.
I think drugs. There's a really bad mugshot of him somewhere out there too.
Oh, you know, I hate that, but I'm also like, yeah, you know, you're gonna go out on your own terms.
Go out style. He died the way he lived.
if your name is Rip Torn, I mean, come on, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you gotta go out the
and
way.
And he was born that right. Name. Is that a real name? Hold on.
I wouldn't think so.
He was born
probably short for Ripley.
Elmore Rural Torn. So Rip is new. He added Rip.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's smart.
Yeah, you don't want to be Elmore. And Rural was his middle name?
Mm-hmm. Rural. Or sorry, Rural. Rual?
Oh, Rual Torn.
Rural.
R-U-A-L, however you'd say that.
Okay.
Elmore is his first real name, though. Elmore Torn is kind of cool, though. That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. Elmore Torn. Yeah. I don't think so. I'm definitely going to go with Rip Torn.
I think he has one of the coolest names ever. And I was just watching, we had Van over the weekend, and we watched Hercules again, and he's great as Zeus. Just a really good voice. A voice you always recognize. All right, what now? Soundtrack grade. I'll give it an S for sufficient. Pull that pin on that grenade, Randy. You had something to say about the soundtrack?
It sounds like at multiple episodes of Battlestar Galactica. It's so freaking weird because the conductor here, the composer, he had worked on some like TV westerns, and he has a long career of things you've never seen or heard of, and he never really like strikes it big as a composer. But like, it just every time there was a swell in this entire movie, I was like, Battlestar Galactica, what's happening? How is it the key? Is it the chord progression? I don't know. It was just
the
bizarre.
Instrument. It was something. Yeah, it struck me the same way. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so, yes, but you know, Battlestar Galactica basically was like a space Western, right?
It was an amazing soundtrack.
Okay.
Yeah. Sort of. It was Wagon Train, basically.
Wagon Train.
Yeah.
Wagon
Train. Like everything, you can trace almost every cool thing back to some Western trope almost.
Right.
Like Wagon Train's
a great
example.
Most of our sci-fi is based on Western.
Like science, I would even say Star Trek is a little bit of Wagon Train in some ways. It's like we're off to discover things in this ship or this collection of ships, and we don't know what's ahead of us, but we're going to go and we're going to figure it out as we go and fight along the way and all that. That's just like totally a Western trope. And then you have the others where it's like, you know, Han Solo is totally a Western trope. This loner outlaw turns out kind of has a heart of gold, but you got to dig in there to find it. Doesn't believe in anybody. Just wants to do his own thing. Like it's totally outlaw Josie Wales kind of stuff. I love that.
Right.
I love that.
And this movie, like the things we've referenced a lot, this movie, obviously like Conan type movies, the first Star Wars, the Ten Commandments, like, There's all those things, and none of those sound like the sound we're talking about. You know, like there's
it's definitely different. Yeah,
yeah.
It's just this very particular thing, and I couldn't let go of it. I couldn't stop noticing it every time. Like maybe this movie would have been better, like significantly better, if it had its own like themes and like a great composer who came in and made a Beastmaster theme and variations and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Would you guys want to see?
Why waste money on the music?
Would you guys want to see a remake of this or a reattempt to do a new thing?
Yes.
I would
absolutely
too.
Absolutely.
I would too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I would. I think I'd be into that idea. Let's make that happen.
I don't know if it would. Yeah. Is this, I would like to see, I don't know. Fantasy's in such a weird place right now. such a weird place for it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see superhero sized, you know, showings of fantasy.
Well, this would have to be, have to take it seriously.
Like, yeah.
Or else no one's going to buy into this. Like, this would have to be Game of Thrones-ified or whatever.
Yeah. I want to see it at a theater. I don't want to see it on TV. I love TV, but I want to see it at theater.
We're recording this on the 1-year anniversary of Game of Thrones failing to meet everyone's unbelievable expectations.
Right. Yeah.
And it still stings. Like, you talk to people about it, and they're still like, I don't know if they can open their heart up to something like a Beastmaster remake, you know?
Yeah. It's something I have a feeling will come around. I don't know why I have that feeling.
You couldn't do it on TV though. You don't put this on.
You don't
the
do
TV.
It as like a CW series?
No. We've already been down that track.
You could do it. Sure you could.
No, but it would just be the same retread. No, it would be nothing new.
Every time somebody's told me, like, when someone says, oh, how could you hear they're making Fargo for TV? That's going to suck. Mm-hmm. They were wrong.
Yeah, the right studio, the right network behind it.
Yeah, right creators, not right CW, directors, but something, writers, yeah. Whatever. That stuff matters. And if you get the right people, anything can work, I think. Mm-hmm. But you got to have the right people. And you're right, they probably wouldn't. The deck is stacked against them, but it's possible.
What happened is, this is what would happen. Nobody has any faith in Beastmaster series. So, I mean, you would go to try to sell that, and the only person you would get to purchase into it would be somebody who, like, yeah, we need to go low budget. We're just gonna turn them out.
You're right. You're right. That's what I'm saying. It's not a probability, but if money were no object and the studio's like, you know what, we want to just let people be creative. Somebody like Netflix comes along and just says, hey, you got a great idea for Beastmaster? Let's give it a shot. That would be, right. And that happens sometimes on that streaming service. Like, weird shows make it to air that would never make it otherwise because Netflix, like, yeah, we'll give you a shot. Hey,
great
ex-Adventure Time guy, you want to make the most psycho cartoon ever made? Come on in here and make that weird midnight, whatever it's called. Forgot the name of it.
I just want to point out that I think great series that are made in like the wake of a movie are about taking the locations and the feel of the movie,
yeah,
and telling different stories there. Like, I'm thinking of Mandalorian. Like, mm-hmm. That's a great series because it doesn't bash you over the head with the movie elements. Mm-hmm. It takes the setting and the lore and so on, and then does something new there. And it's like, I would love a series based on No Country for Old Men, speaking of the Fargo thing,
yeah.
But I don't want it to star a character named Anton Chigurh. I want it to be set in West Texas and have that feeling of constant dread,
yeah,
and so on.
You want the Fargo-ification of that, because that's exactly what Fargo is, and it's so good. I'm totally with you. I would totally go for that. I mean, I don't think Cormac McCarthy might love it. He's still alive, right? He's still alive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
The last... go ahead.
Yes.
I was going to say the last new fantasy series that was on TV that was, you know, kind of like that whole thing we had with this Beastmaster series and everything. The Outpost on the CW.
Mm.
It was kind of interesting. Fantasy kind of drama thing.
Was it good?
I thought it was all right. She's got like these special powers and it's all fantasy based, and it had that same feeling of all those shows from the early 2000s, but it was just more modern.
It's pretty recent. Yeah, let's see. The Outpost. Yeah. Talon, the lone survivor of the Black Blood, set to track her family's killers and discovers her supernatural powers, which she must learn to harness.
Right. It was both bad and every once in a while. It's kind of those shows where you're like, this is kind of stupid, but it's kind of fun. And it's like, oh, every once in a while they come out with a good idea. And it's like, oh, that's a pretty neat way to handle that. That's a pretty good idea.
Yep. All pretty people, of course.
Oh, yeah, no, for CW. I didn't think I needed to mention the pretty people.
Yeah, you really didn't.
I thought that was in the title.
Default state. But, yeah.
And every 8 minutes, there's a heart-to-heart talk.
Yes, right. Yes. Especially,
the characters have to have a heart-to-heart talk with each other.
Especially if it's a superhero one and they ruin it.
There was two seasons, and the seasons run from July to September, so we're yet to see if there's going to be a season 3. I don't know.
All right. Well, now time.
I just want to say one more thing about Game of Thrones. Like, mm-hmm. I think this philosophy applies. Like, we started hearing 3 years ago that there were going to be series set in the Game of Thrones universe that followed it. And then we all got mad at it. And so we stopped caring, right? We stopped paying attention to that idea. But it's a great idea. Like, the only things you need to bring back are the map and that Ramin Djawadi guy to make music. Like, that, you know what I'm saying? And then everything else you make fresh, you know?
Yeah, I get it. All right, it's time for the Twitter post. That's where you guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. I still do that. Let's start.
I think you do it on purpose.
I really don't. I don't know. Scripted. I think it's because I said it so much for the first like 8 years, so much that it's just burned into me. I can't help it. Anyway, love it. Let's do that now. Let's start with Randy Jordan.
The Beastmaster. All animals were harmed in the making of this film.
Oh, man. You're not wrong.
True.
Good one. Yeah. Brian Dunaway.
The Beastmaster. I have my eyes. I have my cunning. And now I have my strength. Now if I just had a sandwich. What? No, not the village baker. And his baker's paddle? Burnt up. No. I have nothing.
We didn't talk enough about
great
that
use
guy.
Of those.
Did you see
there?
That? Yeah, when they were like, when he was piling people up to burn, the baker guy was running around with his paddle, apparently. I guess that's what he was wielding.
Yeah, that was his weapon. Yeah.
Yeah, that's that was weird. Yeah,
it's all he knows.
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's all he knows.
No wonder they lost.
Finally, Ibbot.
The Beastmaster, brought to you by the new iRing from Apple. Do not poke iRing. Keep away from fire.
We'll explode if expired.
Do not look directly into the iRing.
Yeah. It took me a minute to figure that out, what you were saying. Yeah, iRing.
The iRing. Those rings I-ring. Suck. These things suck. Mm-hmm. All right, time for this now. I just handed this list of alternate titles. It was almost called The Beef Master. Because, you know, he's all beefy. He's pretty beefy.
I called it The Beefcake Master. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah. And then this was almost just about happened. It's called Kodo and Podo Take Manhattan. But it didn't quite work out. All right. We got a couple emails, quick ones here from listeners of the show. They either use the website or filmsack@gmail.com. This first one's from John, who says,
oh, because Kodo's dead.
Yeah, because Kodo's dead. Get it? Okay. Scott, long time, first time. You need to sack Space Camp, available on YouTube.
Oh,
1986, yes. Leah Thompson, Joaquin Phoenix, Tom Skerritt. A bunch of Space Camp kids get launched into space. It is so sackable. It's my worst / favorite movie of all time. Someone please add to the list somewhere the film Space Camp, which I never saw. I have no idea what this is.
Oh, I've saw it many times.
Yeah, I never saw it either. And it's funny, when we watched Project X, there were a lot of things that I thought were Space Camp because I'd never seen either of the movies. And I thought, Leah Thompson's not in this? I thought Leah Thompson was in this. And I was thinking about Space Camp.
And it's Joaquin Phoenix, not River?
Yeah, it's not his brother. It's not, no.
Let me wasn't see here.
River.
River. Wasn't River. It was Joaquin.
Oh, look how young he is. Weird. He's a little
weird. How did he get so young?
You guys got to see this. He's the little, I was like looking for him. Like, I can't find his face. He's the little twerp in this photo.
He's a little
at the bottom of the screen. Almost can't see him. Here you go. Enjoy this in the Discord. Look at little Joaquin Phoenix down there.
You're spending all your time looking at Larry B. Scott. You can't
look at him look at him restfully laying upon the breast of Leah Thompson.
I don't know, but see, I want to watch this, but we've talked about watching an Iron Eagle. I don't know if I can have that much Larry B. Scott in a row. I mean,
We already talked about Battlestar Galactica, which was space
that's true
by any definition or by a different definition.
I'm actually very curious about this movie, so we probably should watch it. All right. We will definitely put it on the list. Thank you, John. One more here from Justin, who says, hey, guys, I had an interesting film sack inspired situation pop up the other day, and I thought I would share it. I vaguely remember an episode of Film Sack where Dunaway mentioned that he had picked up a catchphrase from a movie but didn't realize which movie it was from until he watched it for sacking, which was hilarious, and everybody had a good laugh. I can't remember which film that was either, but if Brian can recall, that would be great because I want to listen to it again. This all came to mind as I went into my kitchen after a rough day at work, made myself a nice big bowl of Frosted Flakes cereal, looked down on it, and said, quote, this is your victory dance. This is important. ID forever. He's talking about
Independence Day.
Yeah. So it happens. We still don't know what that movie was, do we? Or have we forgotten now the one Dunaway referenced? I mean, this is a small thing for us, but.
Right.
I love when our listeners do stuff that reminds them of something we did on the show. It makes me happy. So thanks a lot for telling us about that, Justin. And thank you, John. And thank you, everybody, who emails us here at the show. You can do so at the site.
Emails.
Filmsack.com has a quick form, or you can just send us an email, filmsack@gmail.com. Our next film will be The Phantasm.
We're watching the same director 2 weeks in a row, guys.
Yep. Yep, 1979, though.
Sign me up.
A few years earlier.
The Phantasm or just Phantasm?
I thought it was the.
It's his Phantasm.
Is it? Okay. Right? Phantasm. My bad.
Yeah, it's his Phantasm, right. 1979.
And people need to, yeah, make sure you watch the 1979 version, and it's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime. Correct. It's been remastered. They're very proud of the remastering of the Phantasm. Right. Or Phantasm,
you can either watch it there, or you can come over to my house, and we can watch it on the Blu-ray. Whichever. I mean, I'm just. Whichever.
I understand.
Basically, we come in here and we're like, let's watch a Don Coscarelli movie. Well, who's that? Oh, that's the person who made Bubba Hotep, which we saw on FilmSack years ago. Mm-hmm. And then we're watching Beastmaster and we're like, we've got to see more of Don Coscarelli.
Yeah.
This is perfect.
Well, I think what actually happened is I had no idea they were connected to these two movies. I think what it is I think Amazon must have gotten a deal with whoever owns all of his things, and suddenly all his movies are on
probably
Don Prime.
Cascarelli probably owns all of it.
That's what I mean. Like, they probably, yeah, maybe he got the deal directly. Who knows? But yeah, I've never seen The Phantasm.
I wish it was Phantasm 2, though, because that one is my favorite. And it's when they introduced the Himikuda that I fell in love with.
The Himikuda movie.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
Barracuda car.
I don't know what that is. Phantasm 2 in 1988, almost 10 years later, same director.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we enjoy the first one, we could certainly Final Destination that too.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
This will be the spring of Don Coscarelli for us.
That's awesome. Anyway, that's next week right here on Film Sack. Thanks everybody for watching. Leave us reviews. Give us all the love you can. If you want to find us on Twitter, we're on Twitter as well, at FilmSack. And you can find all kinds of cool stuff at the site, FilmSack.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Cool.
See you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.